Welcome to the 173rd episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida, and boy, is it humid. I'm training for Ironman Chattanooga, which is the end of September, so we're swimming, biking, and running, and it's about 93 degrees with walk out the door at daybreak. It's 80 degrees. Doesn't take long to get well up into the 80s and 90s about by 11. So hydration is certainly part of the training. I mentioned on the last podcast that I've been taking a little flask with juice, maple syrup, and salt. That's working out really well on the run as well as the bike. I've been taking a couple of those. Breaks it up, one with watermelon, the other one with was mango this week. So I'm going to keep doing that. I did orange juice and mango combo as well. I prefer the watermelon. Obviously, I won't be able to get that in September in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But, we'll figure out something along the way. But at least I feel like I'm getting some antioxidants and some electrolytes with the juice, the watermelon juice. And I just take the chunks of watermelon, put it in my blender, and just spin it and put it in my flask. So that's actually been working out really well. And, I'm up to about 15 miles running. And we did almost 80 last week on the bike. And so we'll go into the 80s this week. And so that's it's working out good. I like that, along with obviously we take some water along the way. And when I'm running, there's a couple parks that I stop and fill up my water bottle, so that works. Part of this bumping up to get to a Ironman distance race, increase the weekend long ride and long run. And sometimes, it becomes a bit of a head game. You're thinking, I got to go this far, and is it going to be too much? And am I going to recover from my long run to do my long ride? And I was listening to a podcast this morning where there's these two guys that are actually doing 5 100-mile run races, ultra marathon trail races at altitude over the summer. And some of them are only 2 weeks apart, so I felt a bit like a wimp when it came to my training. And, you always think, how much is enough? What's too much? Why would anybody want to push themselves? And a lot of ultra distance people and endurance athletes like to try to push themselves to see what they can do. And, even those guys talked about, 90%, well, I think it's not quite 90%, but at least 90% is, kind of between your ears, what you think you can do and what you can't do, and getting through the tough times. And that's one of the reasons why I like ultra events and endurance events, is that the bad things are going to happen, but you kind of have to deal with them as you go. And you always come out the other side, and it's kind of a good preparation for life, when things just don't quite go your way some days. How do you figure out, how do you troubleshoot? And a lot of these things are troubleshooting, these ultra distance races, when these people are running, 24, 31 hours, 36 hours. Obviously, there's a lot of troubleshooting to do with, altitude, hydration, being sick, different things hurting, blisters. But, it all comes down to it is it's things that we select to do to try to test ourselves, but it's not as we choose them. It's not bad things happen to us. We actually choose to see what we can endure and prepare ourselves. So this is still a fun day, so to speak. When I'm out doing a race, it's always, I've got the whole day to be outside and play. And, I really do like that concept. I think, it's really important at any age to get outside and play. And whether it's walking, hiking, running, biking, swimming outside, there's just so much clarity. I heard, another athlete talking about, how running it really is mind clearing and kind of calms them down for the day. And of all three sports, that's what I feel too, that running lets me kind of go into a meditative state more than biking or swimming. But some people it's swimming, some people whatever it is. And I just don't think that happens inside. I think that's an outside thing, and probably has something to do with, the surroundings and the change in microbes, the change in air, sunshine. And, it's a great way to get that vitamin D. So go outside and exercise. I also heard another person talk about, you know, whether you can run for, you know, or exercise for weight loss. And the reality of it is that you really can't. Your body becomes more efficient at burning calories and storing glucose and energy, and it's obviously good for your heart. But as far as running off weight, you know, you run about 80 calories a mile. You burn less than that biking a mile. And there was a guy that was talking about the, you know, they have these donut runs with the Krispy Kreme donut runs where they eat half dozen at the halfway and a whole dozen, and, you know, or the baker dozen to kind of get credit for it. And, you know, they were talking about how many carbs that was. And it's like, it's not carbs, it's carbs, but it's fat, you know, along with that, it's, you know, these donuts are fried, and people don't, they blame the carbs, but, you know, blame the fat. It's like 3,000 calories for one of these races. And then, you know, they're burning about 300 calories. And yeah, most of the people are young, but some of them aren't. And it's just really vasoconstriction. It's just like, you know, heart attack on a plate. We're going to stress ourselves, and then now we're going to give ourselves fat. It's just really, really crazy. So, you know, watch out for this when you're finishing up some of these runs. It sounds cute and it sounds fun, but it's actually really bordering on it is dangerous, to stress your body like that. And then just to put such bad fuel, it's like, you know, trying to race a car on diesel fuel and then, you know, putting some kind of gunk into the tank. It's, and expecting things not to happen, you know, bad things not to happen. The other thing people talk about, you know, how many days a week they exercise, and certainly there's this 150 minutes of vigorous exercise improves brain function, improves cardiac function. But, you know, that's also dumbed down to where people thought that people might, you know, they might go ahead and try something along those lines, because they thought if they asked them more, they wouldn't. And if you start thinking about it, you know, 3 days a week of exercise is really not going to get it, especially if you come in and you have a sedentary life afterwards, if you have a desk job. It's one thing if somebody has a very physical job all day, but if they have a desk job, 3 days a week is just really not enough. And even, you know, do you need rest days versus active recovery? And I'm really of the mindset that active recovery is much better. And when I mean active recovery is doing something but not at the pace that you would on a normal day. So maybe it's a walk, maybe it's a slow jog, you know, maybe it's a more walk, run, easy swim, easy bike, but I weightlifting, stretching. But I think that, you know, to say you need a day off is really, it really throws a wrench into things. I think people are less likely to do things on a 3-day-a-week basis, unless they're actually meeting people for a class. Then they have some accountability. But otherwise, people start to, you know, I can't go. And I almost exercise 3 days a week. Most of the time, I exercise 3 days a week. Sometimes we exercise 3 days a week, but I haven't been. And if you go on vacation or something else, then people get out of that habit really, really quick. And it becomes 1 day a week or no days a week, or you give yourself more time off. So, you know, I would encourage people to do something every day that moves your body, get your heart rate up a little bit, break a sweat. Doesn't have to be all out, but, you know, keep doing something every day, especially when it comes to, you know, stretching and mobility. I think that's really important, especially as we get older, that we don't lose mobility. I'm still working on my posture as I just changed my position in my chair. You know, I'm working on my posture daily. I'm working on active release with rolling and stretching to try to get more mobile, and it's working. I can see the mobility in my hamstrings is getting better. Low back pain is getting a lot better. So I'm noticing it on my run with my position on my run. It's things are a lot easier. So pay attention to your posture. It even takes some side shots of yourself. You can kind of get an idea of, you know, how your spine is in line. Are you upright? We do a wellness challenge every week in the office in the membership practice, and this week was push-ups and rows. And, you know, my registered dietitian daughter, she does the videos for the demonstrations and was talking about, you know, push-ups and, you know, having a 45 degrees between your elbow and your back when you're doing a push-up. And so I did a video this week of me doing a push-up with my dogs and a cat. And I noticed, you know, even though I thought my elbows were tucked in, you know, they start to splay out. So, you know, sometimes just throwing your phone up on a little, you know, a little tripod and take a video of yourself to look at your form, look at your posture can be really good, sometimes very disappointing feedback of how things are going. We can all, you know, continue to practice to get better, and it only helps us down the road. I'm still doing my weight training sessions 3 days a week. This is week 6. And now I'm starting to actually feel energized after the sessions and the next day as opposed to being really fatigued or kind of fatigued the next day. So, and I'm actually starting to look forward to those sessions and feeling like I could do a little bit more even. So I'm really excited about that. My range of motion and my squats, my deadlifts getting better as well. So, you know, it's taken about 6 weeks for me to turn the corner and not kind of dread going upstairs to my weight room and starting these things. So again, you know, when you start to exercise, even if you're doing 10, 15 minutes, you get a little program, you know, mark it down every day and, you know, keep consistent. And once you do something, it takes about 6-8 weeks for something to become more of a habit, more ingrained that you, you know, you kind of, it becomes part of your routine. We always talk about the backyard garden. It's really hot in Florida right now. At least my papaya trees are starting to spring into action and they're flowering a little bit. The frost this winter was really hard on them, and I kind of thought that they might be goners as far as they had leaves, but I didn't know they were going to produce some more fruit, and they're starting to flower. So that's exciting because the dogs and I really like papaya. It's really good for digestion, as you may have read in the Blue Zones. The Costa Ricans on the Nicoya Peninsula, where they live to be 100 years old, the difference between them and the rest of the Costa Ricans is a lot less stomach cancer, a lot less digestive problems, and they attribute it to the orange fruits that they eat, specifically papayas. So I really like papayas. We try to keep one every week. My trick is to cut them in half, take the seeds out, put them in the refrigerator, and then we pull them out and then take a slice off every morning. I get a slice, and the dogs each get a slice as among the rest of our fruit. So that's where we get our papaya in. So I'm glad my papaya trees are starting to fruit. We went to the mango tasting a couple weeks ago, and we got all these different varieties of mangoes, and we scored some from some neighbors. So we actually planted them. And inside the mango shell is the mango, is the pit or the seed, the embryo. And so if you pop that out of that, looks like a clam shell and planted. So we did that, and we have 9 little mango trees up. So that's exciting. So 4 or 5 years, we ought to have some fruit from those trees, perhaps, if everything keeps going. So that's good. So we'll keep our mango farm, keep adding to that. We've got some avocados and a guava. We have a mame sapota and a white sapota. So we're getting quite the variety of fruit trees, and which is fun. We have a tower garden. It's doing well despite the heat down here. It's on my deck with a screen. But we have zucchini and peppers and kale and lettuce growing in there. And a tomato. So tomatoes are still hanging on in that plant. We have a new plant started, so that's working. Have some hot peppers growing in some raised beds. Sweet potatoes can grow here in any weather. So we're holding on. And so it's still fun to go out in the yard and see what's going on every day and pick some peppers and grab a few tomatoes off of the kind of transitioning tomato vines. We have herbs, basil and oregano now, trying to get some cilantro started. So that's all good. So Aristotle said, "We are what we repeatedly do. Success is not an action, but a habit." So if you take that and then add, there's a statistic reported last year that Americans eat out about 18 meals each month outside of their house. And on average, 3 burgers a week. The people that live in the city of Houston eat out the most, followed by Miami, Fort Worth, and Dallas. The average cost is about $36.40, ranging to $46.14 per person each meal. If you look at 30 breakfasts, 30 lunch, 30 dinners, that's about 20% of the calories coming from eating out. 20% of the time, you don't have any control of where the food was purchased, how it was prepared, and the quality of it. And we don't think about that as being much. Typically there's going to be a lot of salt and a lot of oil. The portion size is out of your control. And there's the associated stress of trying to eat well. I had patients come in today that they were on vacation. They've been doing pretty well at home, eating plant-based, but it went on vacation and really let their guard down. And they were staying in condos, and their son was plant-based, but nobody talked about it with the other six people traveling together. They didn't talk about nutrition at all. And so they just kind of ate what everybody else ate. And, gained a little bit of weight, wasn't horrible, but, now have to come back and kind of get back on the wagon only to travel again. And so, it becomes, again, when you're eating out, it just becomes you can throw your hands up. Another person in the practice was traveling to Holland, and she did much better because she actually rented a house and she was with family, or she was visiting family, so she could control what she ate in the house the majority of the time. So it really is all about it. And she did have the difficult conversations with her family, and they did harass her, and there was some negativity as far as what she chose. And it was difficult because of all her favorite desserts and things that are there that she was used to as a young person. So two different sets of circumstances, but by declaring, that you're plant-based or that you've changed your eating habits, it's not so much you're throwing in somebody else's face, but you're actually committing it to yourself. And it's easier to stick by your guns. And there's a little bit of accountability given to somebody else, that's around you, but it's a little bit easier to stay on track. I'm always curious when people come in and they tell me they're 90% plant-based or they're 99% plant-based or 87.6% plant-based. And I always wonder how they did the math and what things they added up, because it's hard enough for statisticians to, to do this calculation, how somebody can do it on the fly. And most of the time, it's either 90% or 99%. And the person today that was in Holland told me, she said, well, she knew the 1%, she said half of that percent was because she fell to temptation, and the other half percent was, when she was just given something that she had no choice over. But we tend to, again, if you go back to that 20% eating out, it may be plant-based, but again, the healthiness of the food, it really does, it kind of changes those numbers, a little bit, and makes it very difficult to make big inroads as far as cholesterol and diabetes a lot of the times, especially, depending on your choices. And, I'm sure that, this obviously didn't have anything to, these numbers didn't have anything to do with people that had any kind of lifestyle diseases, but reversing these things takes a lot longer. When you're letting somebody else do the cooking and add in, whatever, and you don't have control of any of the ingredients. Eating out is, to me, there's three factors associated with it. There's the cost of eating out. There's the convenience of eating out, that you don't have to prepare your food. And then there's the social aspect of eating out. And, I get the social aspect. We certainly want to be social. We know that people that are social and engaged and have a sense of purpose do well versus those people that are, shut-ins or recluses or have no outside friends or hobbies. But sometimes eating out becomes too much of a hobby. But I do understand that if you're eating out and you're socializing with people that aren't plant-based, it's easier to eat out, because then you really don't have to address the problem. You can order your plant-based options, and they can have what they want, and you don't really have to discuss it necessarily. But if you were to, say, rotate houses, so and take that 20% of the eating out and now say, okay, we're going to rotate houses, two-thirds of that and one-third we'll eat out, then all of a sudden it becomes, what am I going to feed these plant-based people? and you have the stress of, what am I going to do? Am I going to feed these people not plant-based, or am I going to expect them to eat plant-based? And there's this giant discussion that people will say, well, they were nice enough to make me something plant-based, so I should be nice enough to make them something not plant-based. And my thought on that is, they were nice enough to make you something healthy does not equate to you have to be nice enough to make them something that's not healthy, that's not environmentally friendly, that's not animal friendly. So it's a much bigger trade-off going the other direction. So I don't think you should feel guilty about it. But it also, when you eat plant-based at your house, then people know it and they don't want to deal with it. And they sometimes, would rather avoid doing that because now they know they'll have to change the way they eat or the discussion might come up. So the rotating of the house can be very, very difficult when it comes to, you know, eating plant-based. And, you know, so I do understand that. I think it would be better, you know, it's almost, in most instances when you're dealing with people that aren't plant-based, is to go ahead and you're socializing to eat out with them, but, alternate the restaurant that you select. And, you know, again, limit the amount of time, but, you know, at least get someplace where you can have some really healthy options most of the time versus their unhealthy options. And, you know, agreeing to yourself that you're going to stay plant-based as opposed to going off the wagon, so to speak. I'd like to talk a little bit about a new patient that I encountered this week. Since our practice changed to being a membership practice with a focus on health and wellness, we are attracting a lot of people that are plant-based, that have already made the shift to becoming plant-based and they just need a little bit more help, or they need help eliminating their medications after they're making the transition, or they just want education about it. But occasionally we have people come in that don't know anything about plant-based nutrition, and that happened this week. And it's usually a visit of desperation. This person's story was that she has tried every diet under the sun, multiple liquid diets, fasting, intermittent, you know, all the Weight Watchers, all the, you know, Nutrisystem, all those kind of diets, even what she called a raw diet, which included raw milk and so raw dairy. And despite all that, she's been heavy all her life. It's gotten much worse since she was diagnosed with diabetes and started on insulin, you know, continues to gain weight. She may have lost 30 pounds with any of these diets at one point, only to gain that weight back and add more. You know the story. Unfortunately, at a young age, she already has stents in the arteries to her legs, swelling in the legs, blockages in the arteries of her heart. And she's, you know, really only been given patched up by all the different doctors that she has seen, stents in the legs, stents, you know, diagnostic procedures, instructed to exercise and lose weight any way she can, none of which is working. You know, even medical pill type weight loss programs have been offered. And she's extremely frustrated. When people are on high-dose insulin especially, the insulin makes people hungry. You know, as she described it, I'm hungry all the time. She inquired, was this diet going to be something that you could only eat three times a day because she's always hungry and would she be full? She knew nothing about a plant-based diet but was willing to try because she heard that I could help her turn things around. And nobody ever had told her that you could reverse diabetes or reverse vascular disease with your nutrition. The only thing anybody ever talked to her about was weight loss and the need to lose weight. And the reality of it is so many things out there you see on the internet. How do you lose weight? Quick way to lose weight. Get the weight off. Do it painlessly. Do it while you're eating things you like. It's all about the weight And it's just like everything else with the medical profession. It's all about the end result. So you've lived some way and you've ate some way all your life, and now you're overweight. And so we see somebody that has excess fat, and we say, well, you have to get rid of the fat. That's the problem. The problem is a step back. The problem is the nutrition. Just like it's the blood pressure. Well, we're going to give you a pill to lower your blood pressure, decrease the volume, or change the, you know, change your heart rate. But it's not changing the vasculature that caused you to have the high blood pressure. We're going to change the way your liver functions so that we can lower your cholesterol, but it doesn't change why you have high cholesterol in the first place. We're going to give you a pill to suppress your immune system because it's turned on too much and it's attacking various parts of your body. But the reason why it's attacking is because of the abnormal proteins that you're ingesting, but we're not talking about that. So we're just going to give you a medicine that takes care and suppresses the end result. So we're always focusing on the end result, but not looking back at the cause. It's like having your knee hurt, but really it's your hip that's causing your knee to hurt. Something upstream. You know, sometimes we have a tight quadriceps or tight hamstrings that's actually affecting our back, or our back is affecting one. So not always where the pain is that where the problem is. But we always look to what we can see the easiest and choose to address that. And it's really, again, we get back to nutrition is what's causing the root of all these problems, the cholesterol, the blood pressure, the vascular disease, the diabetes, the autoimmune disease. And if you treat it with another form of bad nutrition, it doesn't fix the problem. It gets the weight off. It changes the end result, just like a stent will make the chest pain stop. Because that's the artery that's causing the pain, but it doesn't do anything to the progression of the disease. So when you're eating poorly, it's just a short-term fix to this weight problem, which then you go ahead and the weight tends to come back on because these diets are not sustainable and they're deemed diets, they're deemed punishments. It's a temporary thing. Don't worry, this won't last forever. You just have to do it for a little bit, then you can go back to where you were. And that's really not the issue. We need to look at the root of the whole cause is the basic nutrition. And really, it's the nutrition of our society at this point. And, you know, so we talked about that with this lady. And, you know, it's not going to sugarcoat it. It's not going to be easy. It's a huge change for her. And it's a lifelong change, and it's not a temporary change. It's something that's going to happen. You know, you have to learn the language of how to do it, how to prepare the food, and accept it. Taste buds change. You know, GI, your gastric digestion problem changes when you change the kind of food. So there's a lot of hurdles to do to change this, but it's all very possible. And you know, when you need someone to help you, you know, these quick, you know, follow this plan. Here's a book. Here's an e-program. It doesn't work because you need someone there every step of the way. And you know, it's this lady was even told that, well, you know, nobody wants to live to be 100. So why would you do something so radical? And, you know, it's like we're not talking about, you know, immortality with plant-based nutrition. We're talking about living as long as you possibly can, as well as you possibly can. Because the reality of this person's young and already has, you know, issues in many of her major organ systems. And to continue on this path, we don't have to worry about 100 in this person. You know, at this point, 80 would be a long shot. And so something has to change, and something has to change quickly, or this person is in deep trouble and going to spend the rest of her life in the medical system and in the, you know, taking medications, going from pharmacy to doctor to pharmacy to doctor to pharmacy to doctor with pills added on to take care of the side effect of the other pills. She's already having side effects from medications that treat it with other medications. And it just becomes this vicious cycle, and people become depressed. And of course, then you get antidepressants. When you become depressed because you feel bad, but mainly you feel bad. This is all because of what you're actually eating. So, you know, She's going to start our program and come to our nutrition classes, and we'll work with her closely. I'll speak to her. You know, we'll speak with her on a daily basis. She'll speak with a registered dietitian. You know, we'll make sure her plate is nutrient dense, but very low in fat. And obviously, we'll transfer her to plant based, no added oil, no salt. Guide her in how to prepare her meals. And you know, at first, we take people and we put them on a pretty strict, simple way of eating, so your taste buds can change, so we can back people off on these, you know, these giant doses of insulin very quickly. And that's what happens. And a lot of times people try it on their own and they feel so bad because their blood pressure and their glucose is coming down because they're eating healthier that they say, oh, there's something wrong, and they go back to the way they're eating. So, you know, I'm glad that she's joining, and I'm really glad that somebody's coming because in their want to join us and learn about the program from scratch, so that they can actually help themselves. And so we'll be dedicated to getting her back on track, and I'll kind of give you follow up as we go along. But she asked me if I had failures, and I said, yeah, we certainly have failures with the system, because sometimes it just becomes people don't want to deal with the change. It's deemed too hard, or they just don't want to be part of the process. It works very, very well for the people that, you know, keep trying. And, you know, we don't expect everybody to become 100% plant-based, no salt, no sugar, no oil overnight. Certainly the quicker you do, the better you, the quicker the results. But we work with people where they are and take them. And, you know, I talked with another couple today, and it's like, we know where the gold standard of eating to be the most protection from the disease, lifestyle diseases, is. And then this is where you are. And the reality of it is we all try to make ourselves better each day. And, you know, we're all progressing to try to be the best version of ourselves. And we want to help you along that line wherever you are. We're not trying to get you from the first step to the sixth step overnight. We're trying to do step by step, guiding people along the way, making it pleasant, making it doable, but also being very supportive. Because if you try to jump from the, you know, I'm okay, now I'm going to be plant-based, until, you know, you put yourself up to this highest level of being, you know, completely perfect, it can be very frustrating. So that's why we all work together. A lot of times young people, you know, they'll tell their parents, well, it's okay for you, but, you know, I don't need it. You know, there's nothing wrong with me. And, you know, it's like not saving money when you're young. You know, don't put any money away because you can save it later. And if you get in that habit at a young age, when you first start working, then sometimes people never save. And all of a sudden they're in their 50s or 60s and they're in financial difficulties. And it's usually the same way with their nutrition. They've never prepared their body for the future, and they've abused it. Then all of a sudden you wake up when you're 40 and bad things are happening that you didn't know. And so the time to start is when you're young, and to maintain a healthy body as opposed to try to reverse the clock and get it back. You know, people just don't develop autoimmune diseases and vascular diseases overnight. Yeah, it starts at a very young age. So I am happy that we're getting more and more young people into the program that are interested in reversing some inflammatory processes that they already have. We had a great class today. My level 3 plant-based nutrition class. We did vegan sushi, and some people hadn't even tasted sushi before. They didn't like raw fish when they were not plant-based, so they didn't know you could have sushi that wasn't with raw fish. And we did a sushi with carrots, cabbage, red peppers, and cucumbers, and a little avocado, and had a great time. I had sushi rolling mats for everybody. I pre-cut the vegetables, so I did the prep work, my nurse and I. And so when they got there, they got a little plate, and I'll put it on the show notes. They got a plate of all the vegetables and their rolling mat, and their sheet of nori, and their rice, and water, and a little soy sauce, and sesame seeds, and everybody learned how to roll sushi. And It was great. We talked about the nutrient benefits of the peppers and the cabbage. And the nori is a great source of iodine. Talked about different ways that you can make the sushi. You know, a lot of people do asparagus or just cucumber, or you could do, we did just red peppers, but you can do multicolored vegetables. You can actually do diced cabbage, red cabbage instead of rice, red cabbage instead of rice, and season that and use that instead of rice if you wanted. You can do a sashimi type roll with the rice on the bottom and a roasted red pepper on top with a nori wrap. So there's all kinds of beautiful ways that you can make sushi plant-based. And it's one of the things that I thought I was going to miss when I became plant-based because I really liked it. But that nori gives me the fishy sensation that I liked with the sushi. And so I'm quite happy with my vegetable sushi. And, you know, it's much prettier than, fish sushi. You don't have to worry about getting sick or worms or, having a bad piece because the vegetables are always good. So, you know, if you haven't made vegetable sushi, there's a lot of YouTube videos on how to roll sushi, it would be a great, we call it a kind of art class, nutrition art class to be able to do it. And it was fun to watch everybody, how they loaded their nori sheet up. The funniest one was one of my 87-year-old gentlemen who's done fabulous transitioning to plant-based nutrition. His hemoglobin has got better. His kidney function has got better. His energy has got better. The swelling in his legs got better. And so today he was loading his nori, and I was kind of having everybody wait before we did the rolling part. And I looked up, and he was eating his like a taco. And he just kind of folded it in half, and he was eating it and having a great old time. He said, "This is good." He said, "It just tastes like a taco." And it's like, you know, that works just as well. And, he enjoyed it. And so I thought that was quite fun. So we're going to do that in another class. Now probably all the classes are going to want it. It's a fun day. And those are the kind of things that we do in nutrition class, try to introduce people to things and vegetables and grains that they haven't had before. So, some of the stuff we put up, most of the stuff we do videos of the nutrition classes, and we put up on the members only site. So if you have any interest in being an online member, you have access to the classes or the prep and the cooking demos online if you can't get into Port Charlotte in the class. But if you're ever visiting Florida and in the area and you want to come down to a nutrition class, we'd love to have you. So give us a call and say, "Hey, I'm in the area," and we'd love to have you as our guest to come see what we do. It certainly changed the face of my office, changing from a stress lab into a kitchen and a test kitchen lab. So we really, really enjoy that. I had made mention that I'm going to have the team Shirazi on, two neurologists to talk about plant-based nutrition and dementia, but we had to move that up into August because of some scheduling difficulties. But my registered dietitian will be in town, so we'll probably get her on next week. I'm going to go out and continue training. I hope you do too. And certainly if you'd like to learn more about our practice, it's drdelaney.com, doctor spelled out, drdulaney. You can email me at jamie@drdelaney.com. Love to hear from you. And I hope you check out the website. We have recipes on there. If you sign up for our newsletter, we'll send you recipes. And follow us. Follow me on Instagram at Jamila Delaney, as well as Facebook. Like my page. If you have time to give us a 5-star review on iTunes, that'll help the podcast popularity out. People ask us about our recipes. Addie and my mother and I are working on a cookbook to get out that is the Delaney Women Family Recipes. So we're getting closer on there. We're doing some of the photography now. So we'll hope to have that out perhaps in the fall. So you can see what goes on. But a lot of the stuff we post on Instagram, you can also go onto Addie's site, my registered dietitian, Addie Minerich. She's at Naturally Rooted Nutrition, and that's Naturally Rooted, R-O-O-T-E-D, Nutrition. We're dedicated to making people healthy and getting reversing lifestyle disease. No gimmicks, not pushing any supplements or any kind of drinks or potions or powder. It's just vegetables that grow out of the garden. We want you to get things in the natural form Again, there was some things on omega-3s and fish oil. Eat your flaxseed, eat your hemp seed, eat your chia seed. It's still good for you. We want you to get your omega-3s. It's also in your greens and beans. So get your vitamins through your food. Get your vitamin D through the sun. And we'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend.